Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. It's Keith McPherson on the Fan. 1019 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let's do it. I had like a 45-minute show last night. Not tonight, baby. It's another 5-hour KM to AM on the Fan in New York. This is how you cure your case of the Mondays. Pull up a chair, or maybe you're already seated in your car. Maybe you're on the treadmill. Maybe you're walking around New York City listening on the free Odyssey app. Well, spoiler alert. We're going to talk sports. Yeah, and here's another spoiler alert. I'm not going to hype you up. I'm not going to gas you up. I'm not going to make any proclamations. I'm not going to tell you the future. I mean, the future is now. But I'm not going to tell you the future about the Mets and the Yankees and the Jets and the Giants because no one knows. And I listen to the station and callers call in and hosts come in telling us what is going to happen and what isn't going to happen. And nobody knows how much... Have I said that these takes that we have expire? They should expire every 24 hours. Because just a couple weeks ago, it was the Yankees are dead. The Mets killed them. The Mets are, you know, wait till the trade deadline. Wait till the Mets are going to get this guy, this guy. That's another thing. Memo to everyone. The trade deadline is over. You cannot do anything else. You can't make any more moves. Your team is your team for the most part. Yeah, there might be a couple guys called up. There might be some guys that come back from the IL. Maybe some waiver ads. But for the most part, like, this is your group. This is your team. And we have enough of a sample size to look at the team. And I think both sides, Mets and Yankees, feel good about our chances. But nobody knows. We'll start with the Mets. As I'm watching them today go to St. Louis for this one-off, after the disappointment in Anaheim, where a lot of fans said, oh, you can't lose 2 out of 3 to the Anaheim Angels. Sure they can. What are you talking about? They split with anybody. They're a little bit over 500. That's what you would expect out of a team like that. They're not a juggernaut. They're not an elite team. They have a lineup that looks elite at times, but not as of late. Shout out to Carlos Mendoza, tweaking the lineup a little bit. You better call Tyrone. Tyrone Taylor gets it done. The Mets are up right now, top of the 7th. 6-0. Just going back to Busch Stadium to sweep the Cardinals. And yeah, I'm not jinxing anything. I'll tell you the future. There's no way that they're losing this game to the Cardinals. I know. Oh, Keith, wait. The Mets bullpen. Yeah, so that's another thing. The Mets bullpen. I remember saying the Yankees bullpen is fluid and ever-changing. Well, look at how they changed the Mets bullpen. It's going to take them some time to get it right. Some of these new guys might not have the best debuts. Ryan Stanek, Brazoban, but that's okay. Harrison Bader back in his old stomping grounds. He gets it going. Tyrone Taylor comes through. A big 5th inning, 6th inning. Here we are in the 7th inning, and I think you should exhale a little bit. Take a deep breath. It's okay. It's okay. The season's not over. Salicata didn't jinx anything. There's no Maloik. There's none of that. You have a team that is going to be fighting every day, every series, and that's how we have to take this day by day, game by game, series to series. Anybody can beat anybody. I was telling you briefly last night that the thing about once we get past the trade deadline and you're facing a team like the Angels, they have nothing to play for. They have nothing to play for. So you're going to get the best out of guys. Some guys are going to mail it in. But ultimately, they're going out there with no pressure. All the pressure is on the Mets because the Mets are pressing. We need this game. We need this game. JD Martinez, grand slam. You relax for a second thinking you got that game. No, you don't. You know what I'm saying? So you drop 2 out of 3 to the Anaheim Angels. It sucks, but it's not the end of the world. You're on a road trip for a little while, which is going to be tough. Whatever. Go take one game from the Cardinals. You'll feel better about it. And then you'll take a look at the standings. You're not that far out of the wild card standings. I mean, you help yourself beating the Cardinals here. And you just keep marching forward, controlling what you can control. I think they have the right manager in Carlos Mendoza, who said, you know, like, we try our best, but we dropped 2 out of 3 here. We got to move on to the next. Try and win the next game. Try and win the next series. I know there are so many fans waiting for the other shoe to drop, but why not believe? Like, what good is it for your tweet to be right? Oh, I never believed in this Mets team. For what? So you could get 100 likes? Or would you rather go to the postseason, pay $100 for a standing room ticket? I think you'd rather go to the postseason. 888-808-1019. I look at this Mets team, and you've got guys like Pete Alonso coming out there. Man, that quote today, I had to go back and listen to the audio. I read it before I listened to it, and I'm like, Pete is hilarious. I don't think Pete cares at this point. I think he knows that his future is up in the air. But the quote from Pete Alonso today, as he moves down in the lineup, batting fifth today, which it worked so far, so good. Carlos Mendoza, lineup not producing, lineup not hitting. Lineup gives you 11 runs through 3 games, and you've seen more than 3 games this year where they scored 11 runs in 1 game. Pete Alonso batting below the cleanup spot today. That's the first time since September 2020 and the second time in his career outside of the 2020 season. Okay, well, it is what it is. Put Tyrone Taylor up there, and it seemed to work. But then Pete was asked about it, and he said, I'm on pace for close to 40 homers. I was an all-star this year. To beat myself up or be frustrated, it's really no use. I'm really excited for the end of the year where we get to play winning baseball. I'm happy with what I've accomplished this year so far. He knows he's in a down year. He knows he's in a contract year. He knows he went out to get Scott Boras. And maybe there's a little bit of a Scott Boras curse on him right now. But to say that you're close, you're on pace for close to 40 homers, I don't know what his pace is, but I think it's a little shy of 40. And it's not a guarantee. I think a lot of times on this radio station, we say, he's a 40, 45 home run guy. Maybe not this year. To say that you were an all-star this year, to flex that you were an all-star this year, that's crazy. How much do we talk about Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor not getting the nod when they deserved it more, and you using the leverage of, oh, I'm only going to be in the home run derby if I have a spot in the game? Like, come on, Pete. Don't act like you just had a banner first half where you were just the best first baseman in the National League. You were not. But anyway, he talks about how he's excited for the end of the year. Again, it goes back to my premise here. If you follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, I said, can we chill? Let's stop talking about the end of the year. It's August 5th. So really, we have 2 more months until we get to October. And anything can happen in between, and none of us know. If we did, like, no, it wouldn't be so easy to go bet on FanDuel. It wouldn't be so easy to just go put in bets. 888-808-1019. So that's my little bit on the Mets as we transition into the Yankees. As the Yankees will face the Anaheim Angels, who just beat the Mets, and the Yankees better not take them lightly. They should sweep the Angels in their building. But man, to hear Yankee fans already, like, so it, I get it. It's World Series every year. But to hear Yankee fans, oh, this is it. We're a first place team. The Yankees are back. We're World Series contenders. Of course, you were in first for a good amount of time earlier this year. Every year, you're a World Series contender. You're the New York Yankees. You're supposed to be with the names that you have in that lineup, with the payroll. Like, it's, I don't know what we're talking about. Sometimes it gets lost. Like, yeah, of course, you're the betting favorite to come out of the American League, because when you look at the American League, man, nobody scares you. But you know what I'm scared of? I'm not scared of the Guardians. I'm not scared of the Orioles or the Royals or the Twins or the Mariners, the Red Sox. I'm scared of the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. I'm afraid of my own team. I've seen this episode time and time and time again. God forbid somebody gets hurt. Knock on wood. God forbid, every year it seems like, oh, where's Gary Sanchez, Edwin Encarnacion, Andrew Benintendi, Matt Carpenter? Somebody's hurt. Somebody is either missing or coming back from injury, and they're ineffective when you need them most. Or guys are healthy, and they just don't produce in the postseason. Don't want to name names, but you guys know what I'm talking about. They just don't hit. And now I'm actually not so worried about the hitting because the Yankees, right, the Yankees are back with the Philadelphia Phillies sweeping them and then coming into Toronto. And I was like, okay, the lineup is able to score 5 runs plus each game. Obviously, it took them 4 in the rain delay yesterday to win that game. But now I'm looking at the pitching. The trade deadline is over. I repeat, the trade deadline is over. They did not add a starter. They did not trade Nestor Cortez. They did not trade Gleyber Torres. You got what you got. And Gerrit Cole coming back from 10 days rest. Ah, his trap, his collarbone, neck, something. My neck, my back, my neck, and my back. We need that guy to be right. Because so much is riding on him taking the ball every series. Why do you think I'm yelling and screaming every night about you must win the division. You must be the one seed. Because they need that bye. They need to skip around. I don't think they have the pitching to get through. So to hear Yankee fans, and I said it myself, the Yankees are back, sure. Coming into the homestand, the Yankees are back. And then I went to the game Friday night, and Marcus Stroman gave it right away. And I'm like, ah, reality check. You got to slow it down. Take it day by day, game by game, series by series. I guess you can say they're back because they swept the Phillies. But again, the Phillies are in their worst stretch that they've been in years. So how can you really measure that? 888-808-1019. I keep having this flash to October, this like forward, I don't know what to call it, like forward thinking, like premonition with Carlos Rodon getting a start. He's going to. Carlos Rodon is going to start one of these games. I'm agitated. Like, I'm already thinking of it's like, all right, Stroman. I don't know. Historically, Stroman struggles in the second half. You know, historically, he's a creature of habit. I knew Friday as we're in Billy's and the rain delay kicks the game back to 8:30. I'm like, this guy's not going to be ready to go. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm like, wacky things happen with the rain delay, the crowd. Obviously, everybody got extra time to pregame. The crowd is ready to go, but I don't know if Stroman's going to be ready to go. He's the same guy that told you I can't take the ball opening day because of my schedule habits, and I get all of that. But, man, didn't give us a shot there. And then you had the Gleyber Torres thing where I don't care what you think about it. Gleyber Torres staring at that ball for 2-3 seconds and then getting thrown out at home, whatever. Him getting pulled, I'm fine with. Whether you feel like it's late, it doesn't matter. Whether you feel like this could have been fixed 3 years ago, it doesn't matter. Whether you feel like he should have been traded, it doesn't matter. He's ours. The Yankees love him. They're going to use him. He was in the lineup the next day. So what did it actually do? I mean, he came through with a couple knocks yesterday, but it's in his baseball DNA. How many times do we have to see it to know? This is Gleyber Torres as a player. Yeah, he can be clutch. Yeah, he can hit home runs. Yeah, he can make some wow plays. But then he can make some wow plays. Like, wow, really, Gleyber? 888-808-1019. I'm over that experiment. If I was running the team, he would have been gone a while ago. Here comes DJ LeMahieu, who back when they tried to make him a shortstop, I'm like, DJ's a second baseman. That should be the guy you're putting at second base. You're paying him. Here comes DJ. Second half DJ, who last year with Sean Casey as the hitting coach, DJ had a pretty decent second half that started to resemble more of what we knew him to be. What a bonus if DJ LeMahieu can start hitting now. And then you can play reverse split. The pitcher on the mound yesterday had reverse split, so you take Ben Rice out, so you put DJ in. It gives you some flexibility. Now you have Jazz Chisholm, JCJ, just so we don't mix up the whole JCC. JCJ is here. The pinstripes are heavy for my boy. He came out swagging with the green belt, the purple accents, the backwards cap, the chain on the road. Didn't really have as much of an effect with his bat in the Bronx, but we got a long homestand for them to figure that out. I think he'll be just fine, but the pinstripes are heavy. You could tell he was struggling a little bit. His at-bats didn't look the same. I'm watching him at third base, though, and I did see a quote today. Aaron Boone was on SiriusXM Radio on the MLB show on there, and he said that Jazz came to him and said, I feel like I was born to play third base. So maybe Cashman unlocked that. Maybe Jazz Chisholm, a former shortstop, second baseman, center fielder, can be the third baseman of the future, but he's got to hit. They have options. And right behind him, you see Alex Verdugo get taken out of the game. And then Judge has to play left field. I don't know if I would do that. Like, wouldn't you rather see Trent Grisham in left field and leave Judge in center? Judge has played all three positions in the outfield in Yankee Stadium. And, like, I don't know. I feel more comfortable with Trent Grisham tracking the ball. But what happens? Judge is going to his left. He's used to being in center field, going after that ball, going to his right. Him and Grisham there at the same time. Ball bounces off Grisham's glove, and it's like, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Trent Grisham, come on, bro. I get it. You're a cool customer, but attack that ball. Make the play. There are no cool points. You hit at the bottom of the order. You don't play every day. Your batting average was under 100 for a while. Like, man, make sure you're making the plays. The cool points we're good on. Because at this point, right, these guys have to hustle. These guys have to hit. They have to make plays. It's now or never. It's 15 years since the last World Series. And this year, more than ever, is going to sting because I do think a team like the Guardians could get there. Or I do think a team could get hot like the Red Sox or the Mariners and get there. But you went out and got Juan Soto. You went out and got Alex Verdugo. Then you added Jazz Chisholm. You have Aaron Judge, who's on God mode. So much so, they got to intentionally walk this guy. Just, hey, we'll just, nope, just throw the four up, put him on. And you have a bunch of other guys like Anthony Volpe, who's found it. Thank you for putting him back in the bottom half, bottom of the order. And DJ and Cabrera. And I know I'm forgetting some guys, you know, Austin Wells, who was just catcher of the month for July. You have enough talent to come out of the American League and get to the World Series. But I don't trust you because I'm looking at your past history. I'm looking at who you are. And again, I'm looking at the trade deadline where you did not go out and add a frontline starter. And you also didn't add a closer. I love what I'm seeing out of Mark Leiter Jr. Not Mike, I know his name. Just want to say Mark Leiter and Light and Mark, whatever. Mark Leiter Jr., love that he's from the Shore area. Lacey kid, went to Toms River North, NJIT. I love seeing him come into the game and strike guys out and want the big moment. Please, continue with that, right? If Paul Sewald can lose his job, and earlier in the season, Edwin Diaz can lose his job, Clay Holmes is not above being told, hey, listen, this is closer by committee. We're going to try some new guys. Because all you did was really add Jazz Chisholm and Mark Leiter Jr. So you better get the most out of those guys. And shout out to Enyo De Los Santos, but I just don't expect him to really be a weapon or a big factor. He's just another option. And you will get some arms back, some other options like Clark Schmidt. But like, what are we really rolling into the ALCS this year? And it's Cole game one, Rodon game two, Clark Schmidt game three, or like Stroman or Nestor Cortez? You just can't sell me on that and then, you know, tell me that the Yankees are World Series contenders. Because we all know when you get to October, man, the teams that have the pitching that can just, a guy that can go out there and give you 6-7 shutout innings, turn it over to the bullpen. I mean, a couple homers, a couple solo shots can win you those games. But now the whole league is just going to not pitch to Judge. And you have all these different lineups. Maybe you'll get a consistent lineup, but I don't know. There's too many different factors from I don't believe in your rotation. I don't believe in your closer that you all back from Cashman to Boone to Judge. He's our closer. I don't believe in him. And I also don't believe that these guys will hit when it's cold outside, when the lights are brightest, when there's no other game on. 888-808-1019. So please pump your brakes, especially if you're in traffic out here in New York City. Please pump your brakes on the conversation about the Mets season is over. I never believed in this team. The other shoe's about to drop. They're not good enough because they have a president of baseball operations and a manager who are going to keep tweaking and changing and doing things to keep them afloat. They are not an elite team. They do not really have that many elite players, but I think they have chemistry and I think they have enough TW, the will to win, to fight, and find themselves in the wild card. I mean, obviously, the Padres and the Diamondbacks and the Braves are there, but crazier things have happened. And with the Yankees, I just think we got to chill as far as talking World Series and acting like it's a foregone conclusion because it's going to be heartbreak. It is going to be heartbreak when you lose to a team that you think is poverty, I don't know, out of the AL Central. And we're like, well, see, yep, Cole got rocked. This guy got rocked. This guy didn't hit. They intentionally walked Judge. You know, we were banking on Austin Wells and Volpe, who were kids, to come through. Oh, we stuck with DJ LeMahieu, and he didn't have it. Or Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres, a crucial error in October. 888-808-1019. We will definitely talk about something else that I've been saying for weeks. Practice? Oh, man. Football practice? So much is made of football practice. It is nothing like the game. It's not. It's not. But at least now we're getting to see the New York Football Giants against the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell's gritty Detroit Lions. And I like what I saw out of the Giants practices against another team. We're definitely going to talk about that for sure. So I got a couple guests joining me. I'll cue them up as we get closer. But right now, I want to talk to you guys. Let's take this break. Dial 888-808-1019. We'll hit everything in the open from the Yankees and the Mets and your thoughts about these teams and projecting into October. We can't do it. And definitely going to talk about Daniel Jones. He's looking different. Brian Burns is a problem. I don't know if you guys realize, I grew up a Florida State fan. I've been aware of number 99, who then turned into number 53 with the Panthers, then zero. Spider-Man in New York City. Brian Burns is a problem. Sexy Dexy and him on the same. We got plenty of time to talk Giants. We'll definitely talk about the Jets, as I saw them put out their depth chart. And I'm like, okay, interesting. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. This is KM to AM, a five-hour sports talk show program on The Fan in New York. I've got guests coming up at the, you know, quarter after the hour, I think 8:15, 9:15. But right now is your time to call and join the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To AM on WFAN. Keith McPherson on The Fan. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take your calls first, and then we're going to get to some guests. I was thinking the other day, I haven't had too many other guests, and Bob Papa came on, and he was great, and I'm like, all right, I got to get a couple more guests. So I will talk to all the Yankee fans, and then my guy Pat Ragazzo will join me at 8:15 to talk Mets, assuming this Mets game should be over by then. I was just in the newsroom with PB, Pat Boyle, out there working hard, and we just saw double play ball turned by the Mets to get out of the bottom of, I don't know, the eighth? Yeah, here we go now, top of the ninth. And by then, you know, 8:15, we'll talk Mets, and we'll transition into the Giants conversation. It's been a while. But my guy, Dan Duggan, will dig in with us to talk about what's been going on at Giants practice. Let's talk defense. Is that defensive line going to be good enough to mask the secondary? I think the linebackers we feel confident about. What about these wide receivers? I forgot they had Isaiah McKenzie, and you keep hearing me reference how they have all SEC receivers. Add Georgia's very own Isaiah McKenzie. He can be a weapon, and man, I'm rooting for Daniel Jones. We'll get to it. These calls are here. Josh is in the Bronx, first on The Fan.
Keith, I'm telling you, man, if you want me to, you know, I'll tell you what. With the Mets, I'll tell you what. Skip the football since you're going there later.
No,
with
whatever you Mets, want, whatever you want. You don't have to do what I say. You were first in line.
Okay. We go with Jeff McNeil here since you're talking Mets. I want to hear your football take later. On McNeil, I think the fans should look up to him now. He is having a tremendous second half. Ride on him a little bit. Give him some cheers.
Well, I don't know, Josh. Everybody already wrote him off. He sucks. Get rid of him. We've got Jose Iglesias. Yeah, right. Trade him at the deadline.
Keith, just one thing, though. You still got Alonzo, man. You still got that right side of the infield unless you're going to play Iglesias at second base, man. You can put McNeil out in right field or left field, man. You can even put him at third base to give Vientos a rest. But I'm telling you, man.
Good utility lefty bat. Now that he's hitting, it's good to have the flying squirrel. Happy Jeff.
You go. You go. You go, Keith, man. Have a great show, man.
Josh, you're the man. Thanks for calling. Josh, you know, he's calling before I even get to the year, before I even come through. Josh from the Bronx is up there. I thought he wanted to talk about the Giants quarterback situation. That's why I was saying, no, go. I queued you up. But if you want to switch to Jeff McNeil, we can switch to Jeff McNeil. I was saying I didn't like Jeff McNeil's attitude. He grounds out. He pops up. He's dropping F-bombs. He's visibly frustrated. Well, maybe they worked on that. Maybe he visited whoever Daniel Vogelbach was visiting when he had like a mental reset week off last year. And I mean, when you look at Jeff McNeil now, batting in the bottom of that lineup, good to have a guy in his last seven games who has 8 hits, a homer, 4 ribbies. He's batting .420, slugging .684 in his last 15 games. That's 17 hits, 3 homers, 10 RBI, batting .370. I think we got to hit refresh on our information. Again, you can't make these proclamations. It's not finite. You can't just say one thing, because it's subject to change. Matt is in Woodstock, Connecticut. Matt, you're on the Fan in New York.
Keith, thanks for taking my call, man. How you doing?
No problem. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I mean, I'm usually calling you to get something off my chest about the Yanks or complain to you, but tonight I wanted to keep it light. I want to know what your favorite Bleacher Creature memory is, obviously, besides your roll call.
Oh, my favorite Bleacher Creature memory? Being in the bleachers?
Yep, boots on the ground.
I don't know. The best ones I was blacked out for.
Right, that's the real Yankee answer.
You know, my favorite just general, like, so we just had Hawaiian shirt night, and I think I've done 6 or 7 of those now, maybe 5 or so. I don't know. I definitely have done at least 5. And I just love the feeling of Hawaiian shirt night. It's the first Friday in August. And people bring their family members and like the extension of the Bleacher Creatures. And it's funny because I walk around, you know, Billy's stands, the dugout, and I have on a Hawaiian shirt. And people are like, what, would you just come back from vacation? I'm like, no. Like, oh, why are you dressed like that? I'm like, you'll see us on the big screen. You'll see us on Yes Network. Right. And then when it plays out like that every single year, it's just a cool look for the section to be in bright colors. And just the camaraderie of the actual Bleacher Creatures. Like, I love those guys, man.
See everyone come together.
It doesn't exist in every fan base the way that this exists. It's passed on from years to years. I love that there's so many creatures that have, you know, they're all different shapes and sizes and races and religions. Yep. It does not matter what you look like, where you're from, the common denominator is. We bleed pinstripes. We all love this team.
That's right. That's what separates us from everyone else. That's what makes me a proud Yankee fan. At times, you know, there's ups and downs. But what's your next game you're going to? Do you know yet? You got a plan?
I want to go this week, but with the rain, I was there Friday, and then the rain can just make it really messy and make it a longer day. And
waiting around.
With me being on the radio, I can't really, like, say I go up to the Bronx for the game. And the game gets called. Mm-hmm. And then I got to race here to get on the radio. Like, I can't really play that the same. So I'm not sure which one I'm going to. I was thinking about going tomorrow night, but I probably won't if it's raining.
Yeah, I got you. I'll keep an eye out on Twitter. All right.
Appreciate the call, Matt. Now you got me thinking. I'm like, now I got to come up with some Bleacher Creature stories sitting in the section. I've always told the story about sitting in 204, which is not the section, but in 2015, the bleachers, like, it's just the most popular section where the price that people pay to sit in 203, you can get, like, field level sometimes for that price. So I ended up sitting in 204 because the prices were just ridiculous. And I got lucky. You know, that night, sitting in 204, Kobe Rasmus hits a ball that comes to me. I guess it was bad luck. I threw the ball back. But, like, how many chances do you get to catch a home run ball and keep it or throw it back? This is before we were even thinking to go live or go on an Instagram story. This is 2015. The one thing I wish is that I actually, like, took a picture or a video to have proof, because when you watch it on the broadcast, like, if you go back to the MLB film room, they cut the camera. You can't actually see me do it. But I did it. I threw the ball over Carlos Beltran's head. I knew to make sure I cleared him. I was actually sitting in the bleachers that year, and I watched a fan in the left field bleachers throw a ball back that hit Brett Gardner in the back of his head. I don't mean to laugh, because that's not good. You're literally hurting one of our players. But what are the chances? You couldn't do that one time out of 1,000, but the one time you did, doink. Let's go to Monmouth County. Chris, you're on the fan. What's up, Chris?
Keith, yo, what's up, man? Thanks for taking the call. Real quick, two things before to the Yanks and to Pete. So anyway, the Wu-Tang intro when you came back. Great song, underrated song. I think it's Ghostface, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's all of them. But, like, you know, Raekwon. Method Man, so, it's a classic. Yeah. I just saw a video of them, like, recording it in the booth before my time. But seeing it now, I'm like, that's crazy to see them, like, the process of them recording their verses.
So you're from the same area I am. I'm actually from Mercer County. I live in Monmouth County forever. Either way, in Millstone Township, which is near Great Adventure, near Jackson, the RZA owned a home there.
Okay? Oh, I never heard that.
And there was, yes, no, 100%. And then there was it's Stop and Shop now, but there was a food town, and I used to work there a long time ago. He would come in and shop. Raekwon would come in and shop. Capadonna.
No way.
I met you, God. I met GZA. I swear to God, my
man.
That's
awesome.
And it was like, it was crazy, because it was like, that was the 90s, and that's when Wu-Tang was big, right? And it was like seeing Capadonna in there, and they were all chill guys.
Of course.
Seeing you, God, like in the flesh. But man, it was good. Here's my question for you. Real quick, for the Yanks. Every time a player, no matter what league, they sign the big contract, and then it's being commented on social media or the talk shows, the radio. Because I'm an old guy, not that old, but I'm older. And they always say, yeah, he got the bag now. He got the bag now. I never heard that expression even 5 years ago. When did that expression become mainstream?
It's, I think, from hip hop, man. I remember A Boogie from the Bronx. Had a song, and I can't remember how it goes, but it's like it's an expression. I also think it has to do with the emoji, right? That money bag emoji. People are like, oh, he's got the bag, you know, bag of money.
But you'll admit, it's a newer expression, though. 10 years ago, you never heard that.
Yeah, no, we weren't talking about a bag in 2014.
No doubt. Listen, with Pete, right, I'm with you. I think it's the presentation, and I think it's almost, and it's not even his fault, but it kind of is. It's like the lack of professionalism. If you put Pete on another team, that guy's a good player. He's having a down year, but if he does hit 40 home runs and he was an all-star, he does have value. I think this year he's let the contract get to him. So that's my opinion on him. I don't think he's a bad guy, but he could be playing it better. He doesn't have anybody good supporting him. His agent, Boris, that is what it is. That's on the money side. But he doesn't have that person. And you're saying, dude, this is how you got to operate. You want to make it to the finish line? You want to get the bag? That's my thoughts. I was at the Yankee game Saturday in the bleachers. First time ever. What a great experience. I was looking for you, and it was a great time. Hot. Like you wouldn't believe,
yeah.
But we got the win. And I'm going to tell you about the Yankees, all right? Because I watched baseball my whole life. I'm 47. The Yankees had talent, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Volpe, Judge, and Soto can consistently hit, and the other guys fill it in, and then you got Cole going, and then he could be strong, and Rodon, we have a good chance as much as anybody, Keith. Listen, man, have a good night. Wu-Tang for life.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Of course they have, like, and I don't want it to get misconstrued. Of course the Yankees have as good of a chance as anybody. But if you're a Yankee fan, you know, like I know, these things that you bank on, these if, all the ifs don't add up when you need them to the most. Is this year going to be different? I hope so. But I'm tired of hoping. Hope week continues. I'm tired of hoping. I would have rather them go out and get a closer, get a starter, maybe even another bat. to push the chips all the way in. Instead, they showed you again, we got enough. You want McDonald's? We got McDonald's at home. It doesn't taste like McDonald's. It doesn't look like McDonald's, but you're going to take it and you're going to like it and you're going to forget that you were hungry for McDonald's. 888-808-1019. Now back to Pete Alonso. He got a knock today, scored a run today, worked a walk today. Good. Maybe he stays in the fifth spot or drops even lower and that gets him going. I don't know. Like I said this about Pete. He knows already the first half plus. We're past the halfway point. It hasn't gone so great for a guy trying to prove that he's worth all this money. I don't know how many calls I've taken where people are like, Pete Alonso wants $300 million. And I'm like, in what world? I'm not baseball savant. I'm not on SpotTrack. I'm not on any of them. In what world is Pete Alonso commanding $300 million? If you're a Mets fan, I would say this. Maybe you're tired of him. Maybe he's tired of it too. He said he wants to be a Met. He wants to be a Met. But you go get Scott Boras because you know you're going to hit free agency. You know there is no deal with the Mets. And good on the Mets not signing an extension with him, right? Evan Roberts growing out his beard. I knew that was a bad idea as soon as Evan started it. They weren't signing him. They weren't giving. Your new president of baseball operations wasn't coming in to sign Pete Alonso early. This is an evaluation year. Let's evaluate Pete. Let's see how he plays. Well, it seems like other guys have played better around him. It seems like he's not as productive as he's been in other years. It seems like the weight of a contract year may have an impact on him that the other years didn't. And so now you're at the point where you're like, I hope Pete performs and turns it on and carries. But if he doesn't, so long. You're building towards the future. You don't have to give that money to a guy that looks like he's getting older and maybe potentially past his prime. I don't know, though, because I still do believe, and you've heard me say this, Pete Alonso is the type that can get hot and have a five-homer week. Pete Alonso is the type that can get hot and maybe just, you know, this month of August, pad his stats, and he's a veteran. He's a guy that you can't count out. So before we make any proclamations on his season, what is, what isn't, it's not done yet, but it's certainly been underwhelming. Andrew's in Woodburn next up on the Fan. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Keith, what's doing?
You know, the Mets did win that game, final 6-0, as I thought. The bullpen comes in, Stanek, Diaz, nails.
Yeah, just going back on the Yankees, this is out of control about their deadline. They go get Jazz Chisholm. I'm saying this guy's going to cool off. They're not going anywhere with a lineup looking like DJ LeMahieu as well. The Cabrera Benrise is all garbage. I'm saying even like Kevin Biggio just got DFA. Just go pick up Kevin Biggio. They just need a rack of pass. They don't have any.
Didn't the Dodgers trade for him?
They just DFA'd him.
I know, but I'm saying like the Dodgers made a trade for him early, and we were all like, oh, look at the Dodgers going for it. We're like, okay, look at the Blue Jays selling, and look at the Blue Jays that just competed with the Yankees and were this close to taking a series in Yankee Stadium. I won't say it's all garbage. Like, DJ LeMahieu coming around is a good thing. Ben Rice learning as a rookie and being there, we'll see what happens when Rizzo comes back, but we've seen him be clutch. That's a good thing. What I will say is the deadline is over, Andrew. There's nothing we could do about it. It was disappointing. It was underwhelming. I mean, Jazz Chisholm gave the Yankees a good grade because of his immediate impact. But now you see him in pinstripes. He hasn't been able to keep that pace. And nobody expected that. But I feel like he's pressing a little bit. I'm not sure what he's going to be, if he's going to be hitting home runs, how effective he's going to be. But I do think it was a good move, just ultimately not enough. Mark Leiter Jr.,
yeah,
maybe. I mean, I liked him. I liked seeing him, you know, strike out guys. I liked him in the few spots we've seen him. But at this point, like, why not have him or Clay, depending on the day, be your closer if that's the only other guy you got. And Eniel De Los Santos, I mean, that was just a throw-in. That was just, Preller being like, hey, can you take this guy off my hands? We just went and got Tanner Scott.
Yeah, I'm just their lineup with Oswaldo Cabrera, Ben Rice, Trent Grisham, these guys playing in big spots in October is just that they're not content. That's not a contending team. It's just not going to work out for them.
Well, you have Juan Soto. You have Aaron Judge, and in theory, you have enough until Juan Soto is working walks, and then they walk Judge, and then nobody behind him, whether it's Wells or Glaber or Verdugo, can get it. Like, there's a formula out there for how to stifle the Yankees. Don't let Judge and Soto beat you. Yeah, you're 100% right as far as, like, in October, like, this lineup guys in this lineup are going to be called on to produce that we don't necessarily think highly of, like that we don't actually feel confident in. And I just think that's where we're headed. They need to go ahead and embrace the Martian. Send Dominguez. Go ahead. Put him behind Judge. Thanks for the call, Drew. 888-808-1019. I look at this Yankees team and I see how they have struggled, and they have a lot of that still in their DNA. Beating the Phillies was great, but like, please just go look at the Phillies. Just go look at their schedule. Everybody is beating them. You know what I'm saying? I get it that they have the best record in baseball. I get it that people viewed them as the best team in baseball. Hit refresh on your information. The Yankees sweeping the Phillies was great for the Yankees, but you can't look at that as like, oh, that means we're going to go win the World Series. I had somebody in Yankee Stadium say to me Friday, oh, beating the Phillies like that, if we meet them in October, we have the upper hand. What? That has nothing to do with if we meet them in October. Bryce Harper is in a bad one, right? Their pitching is not going to fold like it did necessarily. Like, just go look at the Phillies. The Phillies lost to a bunch of teams in this last month. They're struggling. I just can't look at that and say, these Yankees are a lock, man. Like, you know, World Series. Yeah, when you look at the American League standings, in theory, these teams should not be able to beat the Yankees in a series, man. Not the young Baltimore Orioles, who also upgraded at the deadline. Not the Cleveland Guardians, who I honestly think we need to put more respect on them. Rob is in Bayonne. Rob, you got it.
Heath, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm good, you know, talking through some things.
I mean, hey, my fellow Nets fan over here. I mean, we got to represent, bro. So
give it time. Give it time. We can't fast forward to Cam Thomas in that show, but I feel better about it. I feel better about it. Did you see... NBA 2K gave Cam Thomas and Mikal Bridges the same rating. I think they both are rated as an 83.
You're right. I did see that. I love it, bro. I mean, 6th first-round pick for Mikal, so God bless. I'll take it. I ain't complaining one bit.
Yes, sir.
But, man, I was saying, I think we're both on the same page with this, man. Look, I love that the Yankees are, you know, got it going a little bit again right now, and I love Aaron Judge. I'm sure you do as well. But, man, we can't discredit, man, the playoffs, the big moments. It's just something about it. We need to see him come through this year, of course, if he, you know, gets pitched to, of course. But I think having Soto will definitely help. But something tells me, man, it's going to be the same old Yanks. I know you've been saying it with some other people here, too. But we just got to see them come through in the clutch, man. I mean, they haven't even sniffed the World Series. You know, they had a chance in 2017. We know how that, you know, happened with the Astros cheating and all that. I get it. But, I mean, ever since 2017, man, we haven't had no shot to make it back.
And if you go backwards, dude, like, they missed the postseason last year, right? Volpe hasn't played in October yet. We don't know what he's going to be. Austin Wells hasn't played. Like, the postseason experience plays. Like, being there and understanding, hey, this is it. Like, it plays. It's important. So this is really, like, obviously you have Judge and Glaber and DJ and obviously Juan Soto. We know what he can do. But... where they're going to attack you is the other spots. Like, what's up with Verdugo right now? Like, he got hot going back to Boston. Then, obviously, he didn't hustle Saturday. They take him out of lineup. They say he's banged up. Trent Grisham, I don't know. I just look at Trent Grisham. I was like, he's been clutch. He's had more moments than we realize. He might be a better option than Verdugo if you're not going to send Dominguez up. What I'm worried about is, okay, you didn't add another bat. You added Jazz Chisholm. Who, like, not for nothing, Jazz can fold like these guys, strike out like these guys, ground out like these guys, and that might not be enough if they're walking Judge, if Juan Soto is working walks. You might not be able to score runs, and your rotation is weak. Your rotation is, they're almost guaranteed to give up homers and give up runs. It's just, like, they're not strong.
Yeah, I mean, compared to years prior when the pitchings would carry them, I agree with you, man. I'm a little bit more worried now because, like, if Garrett is not Garrett, you know, Carlos Rodon, you don't know which Carlos Rodon you're getting, man. I mean, what?
I don't want to throw him. Great. I don't want to throw him in October, but they're going to have to. You're paying him, and he himself came here last year and said, you know, when he was hurt, oh, I'm not here to pitch in April. I'm here to pitch in October. Like, all right, bro. Thanks for the call, Rob. 888-808-1019. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, you passed at the deadline on going all in. To hug prospects, same song. I've heard this record before. But since I've heard this record before, how would that lead me to believe that this year is going to be different? I would think that this year would be the same, where you get to October and we're left wishing we had a Blake Snell, wishing we had even a Jack Flaherty, wishing we had a, I don't know, name a bat that you wanted at the deadline. Or a closer, when your closer blows a game. Or Gleyber Torres being sent anywhere. Could have traded him away for a bag of chips. And then when he does something stupid in the postseason, all of us are going to be looking at each other and looking dumb. Like, we know, like, we've seen this a bunch of times. It's like, you know, Gleyber Torres gets pulled from the game. And Judge goes to tell the media, oh, if I know Gleyber, this won't happen again. Then I guess you don't know Gleyber, bro. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls until my guy Pat pulls up at 8:15. So let's take a break, and we'll come back. We'll take some more calls, and then we'll go to my first guest. Don't go anywhere. BRB.